Jesus said, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We begin now the liturgical season of Advent. Advent really is about the coming of Christ. We unite ourselves with our ancestors of the Old Covenant who longed for the Lord to come, the prophets and all of the devout people, men and women of God, who longed for Jesus to come into this world. And we unite ourselves to that expectation as we prepare for the celebration of Christmas. And also we renew in our own hearts the longing of all of the holy people of the New Covenant, beginning with the apostles and Our Lady and all the others down through the generations, who have longed for the second coming of Jesus at the end of time, when he comes again in glory and all the angels with him, at a time that we will not expect. What does it mean to long for Christ, or to want him to come again in glory? And why should we even bother to want Christ to come again? Why should we spend the sort of spiritual energy desiring him? Well, the reason why we should long for Christ is we should long for the Lord Jesus to save us from sin, from the devil, and from death. Now, if you really think about it, those three things, sin, the devil, and death, have tormented the story of humanity since the beginning onward. And even now, this torment continues. And we therefore should want Christ to save us from this. St. Augustine, in one of his writings, offers a beautiful meditation on the Our Father. And he says that the Our Father itself, the prayer, teaches us that we are in a very difficult situation and that we need Christ to save us. Now, Advent kind of brings to our mind two different times. The first time is the time of this present age, right now, our lives in this world. And the second time is a time of eternity, the time of God. Well, this time in this world, this present age, is a time of great difficulty. In the prayer of the Our Father, we come to understand that these difficulties are real. They're not imagined. For example, we say in the Our Father, remember, these are the words Jesus gave us, so we should understand them. In the Our Father, we ask our Heavenly Father to give us this day our daily bread. We're asking God to give us what we need for life. And this petition means that it's possible for us to go hungry. Hungry for food, hungry for health, hungry for friendship, hungry for family, hungry for life. And so we ask God to help us with this. In the Our Father, we ask our Heavenly Father to forgive us our sins. Now this means that it's possible for any of us to sin, to choose something that is against the will of the Lord. We ask God to lead us not into temptation, to protect us from temptation. So this means that our journey in this present age is fraught with temptations. We can be challenged to give up following the Lord Jesus. We ask God to lift us up from this. In the Our Father, we also mention the fact that others can trespass against us and we have to forgive them. And that means that the sins of others can wound our lives in this world. And this happens all the time. And in the Our Father prayer, we come to this awareness that this time, this present age, is a time of very great difficulty. We ask God to deliver us from all this evil, to lift us up from sin, from the devil, and from death. In the Gospel, it says that our Lord Jesus came to save us from our sins. He will save his people from their sins. And it also says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus, our Lord, by his death and resurrection, does battle with the power of death and emerges victorious. And so this is why we long for Christ, to save us from sin, from the devil, and from death. Now, how do we long for Christ? It's one thing to say we long for him, but what does it really mean? How do we long for him? We could sum this up in one word, and that one word is hope. Hope. Now, hope is something that people say that you need to have in your life. When people have lost hope, then they feel like their lives are not worth living. Now, in life, we have many kinds of hopes. We have small hopes or bigger ones, but we do need an ultimate hope. The small hopes are things such as hoping for a visit from a friend, hoping for a vacation, hoping for good weather, hoping for, you know, a good result or something on a test, hoping for good health, long life, and happiness, and success. But these hopes, while they kind of keep us looking forward to something, kind of become like a wind in our sails, if you will, they actually can leave us disappointed. In fact, in the end, they do. Our longing for good weather can meet up with a terrible storm. Our hope for health can meet up with a terrible sickness and death. Our hope for friendship can meet up with a friend letting us down. So all of the little things we hope in, eventually they either come to their end or they turn against us and hurt us. And so we need a big hope in order to never despair. And that hope is in Christ. The Catechism teaches us that hope is what we call a theological virtue. Basically, that means it has something to do with the Lord, has something to do with how we act, how we desire. And the virtue of hope means that we desire the kingdom of heaven as our happiness. It means that we see God, our relationship to the Lord Jesus, as our greatest happiness. And you know, if God is your source of happiness, then you'll never give in to despair. You'll always be looking forward to some goodness. Even if you come up to the most difficult circumstance, even your own death, if you have this hope in Christ, if you see that your treasure is in heaven, then you'll still have hope. You'll always be looking forward to the goodness of life in Christ Jesus. Hope is more than a sentiment. It's a way of life. It leads us to see and to live the truth that our relationship to God is our source of happiness. Now, we are in these kind of two different times in Advent, the present age and then the age to come when Christ comes again in glory, the age of eternity. And Christ tells us in the gospel today that we have to watch. And he's telling us to be vigilant. Because, first of all, we don't know when Christ is coming. But if he tells us to watch, what he's telling us is that we can end up falling asleep spiritually. It means that we can end up no longer hoping in Christ. We can stop desiring the kingdom of heaven as our happiness and put something else in its place. That is a very great temptation and trial. Now, this present age actually is a time of constant trial. Our hope is constantly being tried by the things we experience, by the spirit of evil, by death itself. And so we have to hold fast to hope. Now, if you look at the history of the church, there really has never been a time when everything has been easy and peaceful and wonderful. There's always been challenges, confusions, controversies, heresies, persecutions, all kinds of difficulties for the church. The Catechism says that there is, though, going to be an ultimate trial for the church. Something that we could say is going to attack our hope. There's a paragraph in the Catechism of the Catholic Church which speaks about this, and I want to read it to you now. It's actually quite an eerie paragraph. It's paragraph 675 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Before Christ's second coming, the Church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity, in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh. So that one paragraph means that the church is going to go through some big trial that's going to cause or lead a lot of people to lose their faith. Something's going to happen that's going to lead many Catholics to stop practicing their faith in Christ, to abandon the Lord Jesus. And they'll come up with many reasons. And we don't know exactly how this ultimate trial is going to play out, but this is something that's going to happen. It's going to lead people to lose their faith. And then it's going to be a deception. It's going to offer people a solution to their problems. And the price, according to the Catechism, is apostasy from the truth. Now that word apostasy basically means a total rejection of the truth. And so this ultimate trial is going to propose to everyone happiness, more life, more freedom, more peace, more life to the full. And the price is you have to reject your faith in Christ. But remember, this is a deception. So people won't realize that they're rejecting Christ. They won't realize that this offer from the spirit of evil, from the Antichrist, is actually something to lead them away from Christ and from eternal salvation. It's a deception. Many people will be deceived, and it will lead people to stop practicing their faith in Christ. In part of the gospel, Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in men's hearts? And this ultimate trial says, you know what? Many people just might not have that faith. Now, this is a deception of the Antichrist, and it puts men and women in the place of God. In other words, it leads people to seek to do what they want, to do their will. Now, in the Our Father prayer, Jesus tells us to say to God our Father and his Father, thy will be done. We don't say, my will be done. Jesus says when we pray, the fundamental orientation of every prayer and every really attitude has to be, God's will be done. And Jesus tells us that because he knows that this ultimate trial is coming for his church, that people are going to be led to think, my will be done. But again, it's going to be a deception. They'll think they're doing the will of Christ, but they've been deceived to seek only their own will. This is coming, this ultimate trial for the church. And you know something? It might even be going on now. It could be. And so we have to be vigilant. Only those who are truly vigilant, that is those who are like the saints, those who truly love the Most Holy Trinity and live in communion with our Father, with Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, with the Holy Spirit, our sanctifier and evangelizer, only these vigilant people will be able to see the deception of the Antichrist. This proposal to solve everyone's problems, and the price is you hand over your faith in Christ. It's like that pearl of great price. You hand that over to the spirit of evil, and then all your problems will be solved. Of course, it's a lie. It'll only make things worse in this life and for all eternity. Be vigilant, Jesus tells us. That means we've got to know our faith, because this ultimate trial is going to propose to us something contrary to the Catholic faith, something contrary to the teaching and wisdom, eternal wisdom of Christ our Lord. Good thing to do is, whenever things are proposed to you for your sort of way of living, you should compare it to the Ten Commandments. If some proposal is made to you and it doesn't agree with the Ten Commandments, you say immediately, nope, this is not for me, not at all. If you can take the gospel, and if something is proposed to you that goes against the teaching of Jesus and the teachings of his Catholic Church, you can say, nope, that's not for me. That's a movement away from God. So we got to know our faith. Then we have to pray and receive the sacraments, because that is our living encounter with Christ. And that's the way we receive His blessing, to give us that wisdom we need to know the difference between truth and lies. Yes, do we want to solve all of our problems in life? Of course, and we should try to do that. But we should not reject Christ in the process. Rejecting the truth should not do that. And finally, we should seek the will of God. That has to be what motivates us. We seek to do the will of the Lord in our lives. So, brothers and sisters, Advent is upon us. And Advent is like our life. It's very short. Once it starts, pretty much, it's almost over. And it really is our life, because what is the purpose of life? The purpose of life is to follow Christ, is to open our hearts to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to His life, to His word, to His power, to His glory. And Advent is like a microcosm of life. It trains us, it reminds us to use our time to welcome Christ, to welcome His word, to welcome His lordship over our lives. So let's live this Advent wisely and with great love for the Lord by keeping the flame of faith alive in our hearts. And that faith is what gives us real hope. Advent should move us to hope in Christ. If you really hope in Christ, when the ultimate trial of the church comes, it won't faze you, because you've put your treasure in heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. In this Advent, and in the Advent that is our lives, we should truly live this Christian hope. And by living this Christian hope, not only are we ready to welcome Christ now in Eucharistic communion and following His word, we're ready to welcome Him when He comes again in glory at the end of time, at a moment when, though we do not expect it, we'll be ready. Advent leads us to hope. Put your greatest hope in Jesus Christ our Lord, and you will never be disappointed. God bless you.